Today, we are continuing on a conversation we've been having for 5 weeks now, 4 weeks now. We're in our fifth week of the same conversation. And before I get into the teaching, I'm just hoping that I'm going to be able to, by God's Spirit and grace, bring it together so that there is clarity fully in our discussion this morning. But then I'm going to make a very clear statement three times. I'm not going to expound on it, but I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to bring that to your remembrance whenever you are almost caught up in the activity. I'm going to say it three times. It's going to be very clear in your mind. Why that instruction is said this morning, I do not know, but I believe that God is inspiring me to say something to you. So I'm going to say it three times. You're going to say it three times to yourself. Do not borrow. I'm going to say it three times. You'll say it three times also to yourself. And that's going to end the conversation. Do not borrow. Oh. Do not borrow. That's my prophetic word for you this morning. I'm not going to expound on it. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't think I have words to talk about it. But God just laid it on my heart to tell you not to borrow. Is that okay? I hope that this word saves somebody from a very interesting situation or predicament. Do not borrow. As much as possible. Do not borrow. I'm tempted to expound on it, but I want to be very obedient to God's Spirit. He just said, just say it. Do not expound on it. Don't teach on it. Don't explain. Don't elaborate. Just tell them. Do not borrow. So I've come to tell you. As much as possible, like, do not. Do not. I don't know who is for. Maybe you're going to borrow and something will happen. I don't know. Maybe you're going to borrow for a wedding. Oh, I said, I was not going to talk about it. Oh. Can you sponsor my wedding? Can you sponsor? Can you? Do not borrow. What you have, eat. Hey, what am I saying? Fifth week conversation. If you don't have, do this. Swallow oxygen and swallow oxygen. God will make a way. So our fifth conversation. Today we bring the curtains down on a teaching series that we have been having for 4 weeks now. And of course, we've been having conversations on gatherings unto our God. We've seen God's heart for his people to gather. And we've gotten to be convinced that it's God's plan that his people gather. His people gather. Did we see that? So it's God's plan that his people gather. We also saw that our gatherings are supposed to be seen as unto our God. That's why we gather. So many people gather for many reasons, and it's unto the purpose to which they gather. If you gathered for somebody's birthday, you gathered because of the person. If you gathered to watch a football match is because you want to be in the atmosphere, and that gathering is onto football. Nobody ever attends a football match and expects to see volleyball. That's a wrong gathering. I mean, I don't even understand volleyball. So why are you showing me volleyball? Why have you brought volleyball players into the pitch? We're gathering onto football. So you have some people say for the love of the game. You see people buy out tickets. They fly out to places just to sit down. You know, a rich man's son or daughter that you don't even know. You don't know for the past 28 years. But then they say the person has a birthday ceremony. You don't care about the person. You don't know the person. The person means, but you go. Because you know that the father is an Odogu. So, once he sees you in his son's gathering, it means that you honor me. That's why you are here. You honor me. That's why you are here. That's why people can have grandsons having ceremonies and top dignitaries are in the place. I saw a video of Otunfo's son. I think he was graduating or something. And you see the number of dignitaries that are there. Oh boy, we are not gathered because of you. You know, and the guy has a very majestic walk. If you've seen his video, he walks like a king. So, all your walkings, it means nothing to us. You can't do anything to us. It's because of your father we are here. Yeah. So you see that gatherings are very important. Not many people realize that gatherings are onto a purpose or onto one. So whenever we gather before our God, it's like telling God, we have regard for you. We have respect for you. Because sleeping is much easier to do than to be here in the morning. I mean, it's quite cloudy. If you were in your blanket by this time, it will not be bad at all. But you get up and you stand before the road and you pick a car. And you pick another car. And then you are in church. Because you know that God calls a family gathering every week. If there are midweek services, every midweek. And so you leave your workplace and then you are in his gathering because you want to honor his gathering. So we got to see all of these conversations, how that, you know, gatherings are so important. Then we went on into seeing the people that make the gathering possible. They help the purpose of the gathering. They understand this is the meaning of our gathering. And so we are going to make sure the gathering is established. Then we call those men the men that gather. And they do this unto God. Right? They do this unto our God. So you see that gatherings are so important. The moment you toy with them, you literally are toying with what God is doing and what God seeks to accomplish. We saw the attitude of the men that will make God's heart come to pass. Who wants to have a ceremony and nobody shows up? I don't think you will be happy. I don't think so. So in the same way, God is not excited when we have these ceremonies. So there are attitudes of the men that gather. They have certain attitudes, and we took some time looking at that. If we want to make God's gathering a possibility, then we are supposed to have those attitudes. We took some time combing around, seeing how that we can ensure that the gathering takes place. You know, so this is what we've been looking at the entire weeks that we've been coming to church, because we want to understand why we gather. Now, I want to say this very shortly. This series, which we have as a local assembly, it's supposed to be seen as a lifetime conversation. It's something we're doing for a lifetime. It's not for a season. Because God's gatherings are for a lifetime. It's not for a season. It's not just for one time. And then, yeah, gather. Say, brother gather. Then after 2 weeks, you're like, you know, this gathering thing, I don't think is even true. No, we want to keep at it. And it's a lifetime activity, a lifetime heart, a lifetime attitude that we must have concerning his gatherings. And I believe we all have those attitudes. That's why we are here this morning. So you ironed your shirt and you came here. I believe God is pleased. Amen. So today, we're going to continue in the same conversation. And like I said, we are rolling it down. So I'm just going to take it very calmly, bring it all together, and then I believe that we are going to be blessed. So today, we look at the gathered in God's plan. The gathered in God's plan. The gathered in God's plan. You know, when I said yesterday at evangelism that we're going to continue our conversation, and I saw it on someone's look like, hey, what else is there to talk about? What else is there to talk about? Like, I thought we are done. Is there really something more? Of course there is something more to look at. So like I said, this conversation is going to bring it all together. It's going to sum it all together. It's going to put it together. Everything we have considered thus far is going to be complete. You know, without what I'm about to say, it's not complete. Yeah. And we're going to miss out an important piece. Yes, it's an important piece of the conversation. So what I'm talking about this morning, it brings it together. Brings it together. It brings it together. It sums it all up together. It's like you are cooking jollof. You have done everything perfectly. Like you have sorted everything out perfectly. But you muggy. Have you realized that? This muggy thing is a very salt. No, the two, salt and muggy. Oh. I watched somebody who cooked something. Somebody who cooked. And I put the thing. This. But you see, the food looked nice. So, you know, those, they're wicked people. How many of us have seen food? It looks nice. Smells nice. But taste. And I don't like spices, you know. Those of you who like spices, not too good. It doesn't help. So, some people, when they say a food is nice, it means it's spicy. Oh, Charlie, the food is nice. Spicy, until I tell them, this is so spicy. It's not good food. So you're looking at me. Some of you can't cook without spices. You can't cook a good meal without ongam. It's like overboard. No, I didn't come to do this. But it's still the same. I'm teaching, so. I'm teaching. Onga. Mom is helping her. So, you know, the spices are a lot. So, oh, this is a good meal, but if you had just brought down the spices a little, it would have been perfect. Yeah. So today's teaching is like that. It's a good meal. But if you miss this one, your food, you know, sometimes when you taste someone else's food, you say, oh, so you eat, I ate before I came. to eat. Oh, I'm full. My God,
You say, Pastor, do you know how to cook? I don't know how to cook, but I know how to taste. You don't know how to cook. 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 How many of us are tasters and wasters? Oh, you can do something, but you are a taster and a waster. And when you taste and it's good, you can waste. But when they put you there, it doesn't go well. Hey, evil like stories. Isaiah 66. So today's teaching is like that. You miss out on it. You miss out on the entire conversation. Isaiah 66. And I'm going to pick it up from there. We'll put it together. We'll bring it together. Today's teaching is intended to be pretty much shorter. That's the intent, but you never know. So Isaiah 66 is our base of foundational scripture. Isaiah 66 verse 18. For I know thy works and thy thoughts, and it shall come, and I will gather all nations in tongue, and they shall come and see my glory. So God is interested in his gatherings. He's interested in his gatherings. He's interested in his gatherings. He will do the gathering. And he's going to be doing that through us, his people, right? Great. Then he says, I will set a sign amongst them. How many of us remember verse 19? The sign, I will send them that those that escape of them unto the nations. So we said, of course, those people who have escaped are the people who have been called out from the world. And the called out ones from the world are the ones who have been sent into the world. Then we got on to see that they will go into different nations of the world prophetically in this conversation. They'll go into the nations of Tarshish, Pul, Lud, and draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither shall have seen my glory. So they will go to everywhere, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, right? So we said that they will go, and then they will declare. The declaration of the glory of God is the preaching and teaching of God's word. God wants the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So the knowledge of God and men knowing God is the feeling of God in all the earth. So when men get to know who he is, that's the glory of the Lord being filled in all the earth. You know, in of course, that's why Paul prays the prayer in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know. So there's a knowledge of God that he wants all men knowing. And the feeling of his knowledge of in all of these men's hearts is the feeling of the glory of the Lord in all the earth. So these men are going to be sent. They have an attitude of going to the isles of Pharaoh. Then they will declare the glory of the Lord among the Gentiles, because God's plan is not just to, of course, save some. So that there are just two people. You are either Jew or you are Gentile. If you are not Jew, you are Gentile. We all are Gentiles. Jewish people and then Gentile people. So Gentiles are people who are not Jews. Are you a Jew? Come from Israel? Okay, that means we are all inside. So these people who are brought from amongst the world are going to be sent into the world, and they will preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile. It means to the whole world, because if you are not Jew, you're going to be Gentile. So then he now says that they will declare. And verse 20, and they shall bring all your brethren. They are going to be responsible for bringing them. Then at bring, we pause there. We look at how that they are going to be brought in and the attitudes that are needed to bring them in for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses. We said the horses there are going to be vehicles that can take two or three people. That's the manner. I taught us how to go about that. So you're going to be bringing the people on your motorcycles. That's a horse. Good. Three people. You're sitting down and then you are bringing them. You are bringing them on horses. You are bringing them in chariots, quite much larger spaces. You can take 4-5 people in a chariot, and sometimes even more, right? Then we saw how that translates into seeing us see ourselves bringing people using Ubers, bringing people using Yangos, bringing, I think there's one now, Rider. I saw it. I said, hey, where is this coming from? So you bring people in. You pay for them. That's how you bring them in. You don't say that, hey, I've invited you to church, I should pay your transportation. No. You are responsible for bringing them in. In fact, a man that God is going to use a lot of money for transportation. You must be ready for it. I think I left that out. You must be ready. You must be ready to have something to give. Some of you may not be able to bring somebody, but then there is the angel on wheels, right? Yes. You can say, oh, I'll pay for 25 cedis for 3 students, 50 cedis for 2 students. In and out, 50 cedis, I'll pay, 25 cedis, I'll pay. Somebody is coming, I'll pay. Let me just sort. I'm going to make sure that somebody is brought. Now, I don't like to most of the times expose us to that, because then you find some people say, I'm not going to bring anyone, but I'm going to pay for someone to come. That's easy. Which one is easier, to give 15 cedis or to actually bring somebody? Right? So I think we can do both together, right? So we're going to be interested in bringing, we're going to be interested in paying for other people who have to be sorted out. So we have chariots. Then we'll have litters, much larger spaces. Just going to put them together. So we'll have larger vehicles, vehicles that can take 8, 10, troskies, right? Mules, swift beasts. We're going to mules. These are tough vehicles as well. All kind of vehicles are used. Excavator, put them inside and bring them. You know, those times in Tamale, when it gets difficult to get a car, you can have somebody with a pickup. And then you just stop. He understands. It means that you are going to the boots. So when you just jump in, my dad had a pickup and he used to do that. So you jump into a boot, you hold there, you are gone. So you can have like 6 people all at the back of the pickup. And then freely, it's a normal, nice thing to do. Especially on your way to school, Central University, Dusty Road. I mean, Central Lyceum, Dusty Road. So that the bus is not coming, no car is coming. You just stop one pickup, who is going there? You jump inside. Yeah. Me, I don't have shame. You have shame. A lot of shame. It's like you are very diplomatic. You can't be a minister like that, though. Because when you go to missionary, they say they don't have bed. What would you do? What would you do? Say, no, I need latex foam. On a missionary field. On a missionary field. On a missionary field. On a missionary field. They give you water to bath. When you look inside, you are afraid. But if you don't bath too, you have not bathed. So you just have to bath. Yeah. Food that you don't know how it's done, but it's presented before you. Some of us are too posh for God. Too posh. I'm not saying that be dirty, please. What is that? Pastor is endorsing dating. No, I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying that you have to be in a certain way to be used by God. You have to be used by God. To be used by God. You know, I was. Anyway. So we're going to use all of these methods, planes, helicopters. We're going to push them in for meetings. There are larger conferences that people are coming in with planes. That's a gathering unto our God. Yeah, they're coming in with planes, their own planes, not borrowed planes. Or you don't want to have planes that can bring people. Are you sure? Take your seats. It's coming to pass. So then you're going to bring them in using all of these means. then you bring them to the holy mountain of Jerusalem, which is their church. Of course, the bringing there, like last week I said, there's an attitude. So we're going to forcefully move them in, push them in. It's the word anakazo, is to compel. Right? Yeah, compel with your explanations, with your strength. I was with somebody who told me, Pastor, thank you so much. What you taught me last week, it worked. I invited somebody to church and last minute she said, no, she was not going to come. And she started giving me excuses. And I said, no, you need to come. You need to do this. You need to be in the gathering. You don't need to. So she said, she anakazoed her way intelligently. Yes, that's the way, is to present it as necessary. You cannot miss the meeting. Some of us easily give up. Yeah. Easily give up. We easily give up. But that is changing and that has changed. So he causes us to bring them in into his holy mountain. Said the Lord, as the children of Israel brings an offering in a clean vessel. So we are bringing in an offering. We are bringing in an offering. And those offerings is not monetary. It's the people. I brought this person in into the gathering. It's my offering unto you. It's my offering unto you. It's my offering unto you. I think we have to start getting loud on, of course, monetary offerings and then offerings unto our God. Offerings. This is the person I brought. This is the person I brought into the garden. But like I said, this conversation brings it together. So if you don't hear what I'm about to say, sorry for left, right, forward, back, center, middle. We bring them as an offering into our God, in a clean vessel into the house of our God. Verse 21 is our emphasis for this morning. Can we read together as a church, 1, 2, go? And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. So this is how I draw the curtains down. It's not just about bringing. The intent of the bringing is that God will take off them and he's going to make them priests and Levites unto our God. He makes them priests and Levites unto our God. Now, I thought to make this very simple, not to get into it very in-depthly. You know, in the olden days, or in the olden times, there were people called Levites. You know, one of the things the Lord told me quite recently is that, and he keeps telling me, he said, your people are quite younger. Don't sound complicated. So I always think of how I'm going to make it very simple for everybody who doesn't even know what we are talking about to at least understand. That's why I use all the examples so that you can understand what I'm trying to say to you, right? So if you don't know what Levites and priests are, Levites were people that were chosen by God in the Olden Testament as well as priests. And in the Olden Testament, there was something called the tabernacle. There was a place, in short, where the people offered sacrifices and those spots were determined as of the Lord, more like a place that was exclusive of God's presence, where people gathered to offer sacrifices unto him because of their many stubborn deeds, stubborn academies in the whole entire world. So these were people that were appointed to be in a space, and God called them Levites and he called them priests. Now, why are they called Levites? Because they came from the tribe of Levi. That's all. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And so God decided that he was going to pick people from a tribe. Then he would exclusively ensure that these people serve him and serve his purpose. So those were who the Levites were. Now the priests were people, of course, who were consecrated also to God within the same confines. But their duties were quite different from the Levites. So the Levites served generally in a space. The priest's role or duty was quite specific also within a space in the tabernacle. Is that clear? All right. So you see that the Levites' responsibility were, of course, to ensure that they guarded the sanctuary. So when you get into the tabernacle, if this was the tabernacle, you couldn't do anything in the house of God except you were either a Levite or a priest. If you go, you are finished. If you go, you are dead. You say, God has not chosen me, but I've chosen myself. No, that was dangerous. You know, I was reading the Bible one time, and there's a story in God's Word. You know, do you know who the person is? There was an ark that was falling. Do you know who it is? Who's it? Who's it? Hey, you Sunday school, you didn't go to school. And it was falling. And he said, the ark is falling. And he went to touch, and then he just fell off. He's dead. And when I was reading, I said, Lord, it's not this thing you are. Hey. So do you know what David did? When David saw that, he said, no, it's not coming to my house. David was a very smart man. He said, no. He watched the way the guy died instantly. He said, no. So he took the ark to the house of another man who was called Obed-Edom. Then he put the ark there. Because if he doesn't know, and one of his wives touched the ark and she dies, it's going to be sad. And David had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines and girlfriends. Sorry, I mean wives. So he took the ark and he put it there. He said, no, I'm not going to play with this. It's a dangerous commodity. So he put the ark there. Then he suddenly saw that the house began to prosper. Like maybe money starts to come. Maybe in the ark, maybe a plant was dying. And then the plant suddenly begins to have life. So when he saw that particular house where the ark was put in began to prosper, he now said, no, bring it. Bring it back. So he brought the ark back. And that was when the ark was coming, he was dancing. And his wife looked upon him with discontent. She said, why are you a king? And why are you so excited? And you're so vile about an ark. What? You see, the women, when you talk, you have to be careful. So why are you dancing? Why are you dancing like you don't have a lot of head. That's what she told. You know, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what she said. So why are you acting very some way? What's so special about it? You know, one of the things that makes me even scared, why am I diverting into this part? She first said in her heart, it was here. She became barren. That was till she died. Finish. So those of you that I'm teaching this thing, you say, oh, what is so special? If you look at the skills in the Old Testament, it should tell you that, no, I have to handle this thing much cautiously. Much cautiously. Much cautiously. Could it be that you are not handling something that God has given to you well? That's why something around you may not be responding in a certain way. Certain way. Certain way. Food for thoughts. Sing. You say you won't sing. You said that singing is not for you. You have a voice, but you say singing is not for you. You are despising what God is doing. Anyway. So the Levites were people who gathered the sanctuary. Of course, they sang worships. Some of them were responsible for teaching others the laws. You know, they also assisted the priests. They helped the priests. I see that you are beginning to take what God has given you seriously. And things around you is beginning to prosper. You know, somebody told me something here. No, God told me something. I saw, I'm not going to tell you who the person is, but I saw someone very dedicated to the things of God. And something happened to him that was very good. It was very rare. It was very rare. So, I was looking at it and I said, how could this thing happen suddenly? Take your seat and listen to this thing the Lord told you. Yeah. He said, I was asking the Lord, because it's something that does not happen more frequently. So asking the Lord that, why is it that this thing happened so suddenly and so easily? Do you know what the Lord told me? He says that because he serves me faithfully. And sometimes I ask God questions. He said the reason why he did that for the person is because the person faithfully served me. So I said, wow, just faithfully serving you. He said, yes, just faithfully serving me. But I didn't tell the person. Yeah, so the person serves me faithfully. That's all. That's why this thing happened in a certain way. Now, I'm not saying you should serve him for that. We serve him because we know he has done a lot for us. But there are benefits that follow out our service to him, even when we know that he has done something for us. Yeah. Five PM prayer session. Yanko pongi. Yendada no. Those of you who don't, you have not joined. We don't deceive God. It's like you are serving, it's like you are not serving. It's like you are inside, like you are not inside. Like you care, it's like you don't care. You are interested, you are not interested. Like you are doing this, like you are not, like you are deceiving yourself. So as for God, we don't deceive him. If you are serving him, serve him well. So, these are Levites. Now, from where is he going to? Of course, I'm going to show you. Everybody who gathers is going to be the chosen of God, because they are going to be priests and Levites. Priests unto him. Priests unto our God. So, he is going to pick the gathering and cause all of them, the people that gather, to serve his eternal purpose and plan. So, it's not that the people are just gathering because they are excited to gather. They are gathering because there is an end reason for their gathering. Now God says, I will take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Levites were gatekeepers. When you go before the time, you see people sweeping. You see people saying, yeah, good. You see people singing. You see people ushering, or you see people handling administrative duties. You see people serving by judging cases. And these all were Levites. They are judging cases. The problems are brought, then they judge. Problems are brought, then they judge. Then the priest, of course, was that exclusive person who offered sacrifices unto our God. He was responsible for sacrificial purposes, sprinkling. And of course, he was responsible also for teaching the entire general public the laws of our God. So you see that God intends to have us gather, right? Then out of that gathering, he just doesn't want us to gather and scatter, gather and scatter. Out of that gathering will come forth priests and Levites, people who serve his plan and his purpose. People who serve his plan and his purpose. So priests and Levites were taught. Of course, God didn't just say, you are chosen, go. Like, what am I supposed to do here? So Levites and priests were what? They were taught. Now, in our first lesson, I'm going to, like I said, it brings it together. So I'm going to be going back first, probably second, third, and then we are bringing it all together gradually, right? Let's go back to something we read in our first or second teaching. First teaching, Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you are in the gathering, I want you to believe that the end goal of being in the gathering is that you are going to be somebody that serves and that offers sacrifices unto our God. You are a Levite, chosen by God to serve. Of course. Okay. I told you that Levites are taught, right? They are taught what to do. They are taught how to do. What to do. Deuteronomy. We must start to see our service unto God. Very important. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. We read this already, but I want us to read it again. And I'm going to show you something very important. Verse 10. Especially the day that God, that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Do you see that? So the gathering will entail the hearing of the word of God. You hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. All the days, not some days. Your Levite responsibility in being taught is all the days. They will do it for the rest of you. If you are a Levite and you are chosen, or you are a priest, as we have been chosen, it's all the days of your life. Yeah, all the days. I was going to say something, but I was saying that. Let me pause. All your life's days is God's plan. So those of us who say that we are waiting, when we get money, we will show God. No, you don't say it with your mouth, though. The heart says it's like when the money actually comes, then you now start giving excuses. You know, I've been here, you know, I've been moving to Dubai. Pastor, you know, now I'm very busy. I have 3 shops that I'm managing now. So, you know, things are becoming tight, you know. Oh boy. All the days of your life. So they are going to serve the Lord and fear him all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So an important activity of the gathering is what? Teaching is an important activity of the gathering. Teaching is an important activity of the gathering. Deuteronomy 31. And we're reading from verses 11 to 13. Or I'm reading from verse 11 to 13. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, is that a specific place? Thou shalt read the law before all Israel in thy hearing, or in their hearing. People are going to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God. Pay attention to the word I'm about to read, and observe to do all the works of the law. Pay attention. They will teach and observe to do. Let's go to Joshua 24. A very important activity of the gathering is the teaching of God's word. Joshua 24. And it's a long read, 1 to verse 15. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Does that make sense? So when we gather unto God, we present ourselves before God. Verse 2. Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now this is Joshua saying something. Can we say he's explaining or teaching? Because sometimes teachings are instructive or reminding. They remind you of what God is saying. So, verse 3, look at it. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. He's still speaking to the gathering, right? And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. Verse 7, and when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. He's still teaching. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess the land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornets before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye have not labored, and cities which ye have not built, and ye have dwelt in them of the vineyards of oliveyards which ye planted, not do you eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Do you see that there? The gathering is a teaching. He teaches them to know God and to fear them, or to fear him, and to observe to do what God says. Are we all following? Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of the fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs and sights, and preserved us in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Do we see teaching there? Do we see teaching there? Do we see the fear of the Lord there? Do we see service unto our God in the teaching that is there? So there is the teaching, there is the fear of the Lord, there is the service. Now, that is the gathering. The gathering. Does this sound like, I've realized you don't come to church early? Does it sound like that? Oh, that's what he said. He said, don't be like your fathers who served other gods. Now, you know, many of the times you will have to read the Bible in the tone with which it was written and the event that's happening. He was not saying, you know, don't really serve your God. He was actually like speaking to them. He was teaching them that they had to pay attention to God's teaching and they had to observe to do. Levites and priests, I told you that they were taught, right? You are not just chosen and then you just jump in. You can die a very careless death. Holies of holies, then you are already entering. Then we've not found you again. So these Levites and priests, just like the way the people of Israel were taught, they also were taught to know how to navigate themselves in the temple and how to serve the Lord, where to go, where not to go, how to talk, what not to say. When they stood in that temple to serve the Lord. Back to our base scripture, Isaiah 66. Is it clear? Can we all read together? And I will take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Don't forget, this is Isaiah 66. The gathering, who will bring them, will make them gather in all the nations of the world, every tribe, every race, in every community. It's not just the gathering. It's to the end that those who gather serve the Lord our God in fear and reverence of Him. In fear and reverence of Him. You know, there's something about the local assembly. And as a pastor and as people, we must pay attention to our services. Because sometimes, if these things are not cleared, they affect the move of the Spirit in the meeting. They affect what God is doing in our midst. So there are just sometimes the congregation becomes very lethargic. It happens in every local assembly. And then we must now pay attention to doing what needs to be done so God can have His way in our midst. And then maybe the singers come in casually. Oh, nobody's blessed. The people walk in at any time. And of course, you are supposed to come and wait for God. God is not supposed to come and wait for you. The ushers, they dress anyhow. Skimpy clothes, they don't care. Clothes that are not decent, nobody cares. Lift up hands, nobody lifts up hands. The one that leads us congregationally in worship is singing. He's not singing to us. She's not singing to us. She's only leading us to all sing unto our God. That's all she's doing. She's not singing to us. So we don't come to enjoy the song. Like, yeah, the choir is really good. I didn't really like the choir today. Oh boy. We are all choristers. When we gather before Him, all of us, we sing. But it's just that all of us will not be given the opportunity here. Because some of us, our voices can spoil the congregational worship. So it's like we choose those who can lead us all together as a church. Then we all, wherever you are singing unto your God. And He doesn't worry about your voice. But your voice in this will bring down the building. So we put some people here so that they can lead us all. So it's not that they are singing to us. They're not singing to us. They are leading us together as we all worship our God. But then there's somebody that leads us. So you see that we come to church. And we are expecting the choir to move us. We want the choir to move. It's not shaking. It's not shaking. It's not shaking. I told us as a local assembly, even if we give anybody any opportunity to sing, the person doesn't have a voice. It's not a problem. That's not what we are paying attention to here. Do you understand? Yeah. The only thing is that the person should be able to start the song. That's all. As we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus, in one accord, in the power.
Oh, supernatural encounters all around as we gather, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Oh, in one accord, in the power of His Spirit, His glory fills this house. Great things
are happening now.
Oh, supernatural encounters all around. This is holy ground.
His spirit is moving
all around.
Glory cloud.
Yes, it fills this house. Oh, His Spirit is moving, and His Spirit is moving. It's upon us. One more time. This is holy ground. This is holy.
You are now getting it.
Holy. You're now getting it.
Because you can't sit when He's holy.
Oh, His Spirit is moving.
His Spirit is moving.
All around. See His glory cloud. Yes, it fills this house. Oh, His Spirit is moving.
What are some of the things you do in worship when He's holy?
This is holy ground. This is holy ground. Oh, His Spirit is moving all around. See His glory cloud. Yes, it fills this house. His Spirit is moving. Yeah. Oh, this is holy ground. In this is holy ground. Oh, His Spirit is moving all around. See His glory. As it fills this house, His Spirit is moving, and His Spirit is moving. It's upon us all.